welcome to the show. My name is Gary Zimak. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today on the program, we'll be joined by author Chris Stepien, who'll talk about some great topics from his book, Dying to Be Happy. As a refresher, we've had Chris on the program before. Chris wrote a book about his wife's diagnosis with breast cancer and how it changed his life. His wife is fine. She's doing well now. But it really made him realize how temporary this life is. And I think that's a great message for us to remember. Life is temporary. Let's not waste any time. Can I get an amen? Right. Also, we will look at the mass readings for today, which is the Feast of St. James the Greater. St. James is one of the apostles. We don't know a whole lot about him, but we celebrate his feast on this day. It's a big day to celebrate the Feast of Apostles. They are the original 12 guys that Jesus chose to build his church upon, right? And you look at these guys, they had a lot of issues. They were not overly qualified, but they were willing to say yes to the Lord, which is something that many of the scholars and the well-educated people weren't willing to do. I think that's a good lesson for all of us. So that's going to be coming up in the show. Also, I am going to give you some inside information about my new podcast. What's really cool about this is you and I, we've got this intimate thing going on. You listen to this program. Not everybody listens to this program. Obviously, you've been with me for good chance you've been with me for a while if you're listening to this show. So I'm going to give you some information that nobody else knows yet. I haven't even made this public yet. So that's going to be coming up. It's pretty exciting now, isn't it? You're going to get information nobody else knows. So let's pray. I'll do my beverage du jour, and then we'll get right into the mass reading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dear Father in heaven, thanks for giving us another day. Father, we ask you to please continue to strengthen us as we go out into the world. Help us to deal with the anxieties, the pressures, the stress of daily life. Give us the grace that we need to do your will at all times. Help us to share you with those around us. We lift up our own personal intentions, our needs, whatever they may be. We ask you to bless our families, ourselves, our priests, our religious, our deacons. We ask you to increase vocations. We pray for an end to abortion. We pray for those who are persecuted because of their love for you, Lord, around the world. Many Christians are persecuted. We ask you to help them all. We ask for all of these things. And of course, I ask the Holy Spirit, Lord, you to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me so that your message can come forth from my lips and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to that message. We ask for these things in the most holy and the most sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lady Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint James the Apostle, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, beverage du jour time, and then some insider information. Here we go. All right, you ready? Mystic Monk Chocolate Cherry Coffee. You need to get some. Followingthetruth.com. Click on the Mystic Monk image. If you're a coffee fan, check out the great coffee offered by the monks at Mystic Monk Coffee. Real monks, real coffee, really good. I just made up a slogan for them. All right, insider information before we go to today's mass readings for the Feast of St. James. I told you about the upcoming podcast that I'm going to be doing just for warriors. It is going to be called Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. Now, here's the details, and nobody else knows this. You can check out the information online. It's going to be done through my Patreon page. And if you want to see what it looks like, all you need to do is go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com/GaryZ. Patreon.com/GaryZ. You will see the page. And what's going to happen is this. And I don't recommend you do this, even though you could sign up now. I don't recommend you do it just yet. I'm waiting until August 1st to roll out this podcast. What will happen is this. There's going to be three levels. And as I have explained to you, I haven't gone public with this yet, except to you on the program. I need your support in order to be able to do this show. So what I'm asking for is contributions. That's what Patreon's all about. It's about paying artists for their work. And it's going to be really simple. For $5 per month, you go onto Patreon, you sponsor, you become a sponsor for $5 per month, you will get access to the 30-minute Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast. So that's going to happen for $5 per month. For $10 per month, you get access to the 30-minute Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast, plus a daily 3-minute Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled podcast, Monday through Friday. So that's a little additional help. $10 per month, that equates to 33 cents per day. It doesn't really equate to much at all. $15 per month gives you access to the weekly Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, the Monday through Friday version of Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, plus a video that I'll probably do on the weekend where I answer your questions about anxiety. So that's what's coming on. You could sign up today if you wanted. The reason I tell you don't do it is because I'm not producing content. And what will happen is the way Patreon works, you get billed for that $5, $10, or $15, whatever you want to pledge, at the beginning of each month. I didn't want to put it out at the end of the month and say, okay, everybody go sign up for these podcasts and have you billed for a partial month in July and then get billed again in August. I didn't think that was fair. So I want to make sure that you get your money's worth for this podcast. It will be officially, but you can go over to the page, take a look at it. You could sign up, but I recommend you don't. If anybody does, I probably would put some content out there, but I rather would wait till August the 1st to do that. And I would ask you to, once it goes public, to let your friends know, especially if they're anxious, that this is available. There's never been a Catholic podcast tailored for worriers. I have a history with anxiety. I have a history with turning to Christ to help overcome my anxiety. Take a look on the internet. Google me, Catholic Speaker Anxiety. Look at my books. You'll see that I am the leading speaker on the topic. Through the grace of God, this has all happened, and I'm so grateful to be used in this capacity by the Lord. So now we have a Catholic podcast targeted directly to worriers. That's going to take place. It's going to come out next week. So mark your calendars, get ready, check out the Patreon page. You're going to see more about it on Facebook. If you're on my email mailing list, I'll send out an e-blast there. I'll be talking about it on the radio shows that I do. More is coming about that. This program, The Gary Zimak Show, stays. It's free. It will be free. And it's going to continue to do the same thing that I've been doing. Daily Mass readings, little inspiration. We'll share some guests. And beginning on September the 4th, total consecration preparation. 33 days of preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary on this program. So that's that. And of course, Spirit of the Morning, that program is staying put too. So everything stays the same. I'm just adding additional podcasts, but that's why I'm asking for the support of the listeners in order to be able to produce that too. It's going to take time to do this, so I really need it because this is my full-time job. I need to do something to make sure that I'm able to support my family. So $5, $10, $15 per month for these podcasts, that's going to be the way it works. And again, you know something that nobody else knows because I didn't put the link out anywhere. Patreon.com/GaryZ. I wanted to keep it really simple. That happened to be available, so that's what we went with. Stay tuned for more information. Now, let's look at the Mass readings for today. The Feast of the Apostle St. James. By the way, James is called the Greater because it is assumed that he's the older. There were two apostles, James the Greater, James the Less. I know it sounds like somebody's playing favorites there, but the reason is one is supposedly older. That's what I have always been told. This James is the brother of John. He's nicknamed, along with his brother, Sons of Thunder because they're pretty feisty. Jesus nicknamed them that. First reading, St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 15. Brothers and sisters, we hold this treasure in earthen vessels, that the surprising power may be of God and not from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not constrained, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being given up to death for the sake of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since then, we have the same spirit of faith. According to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We too believe and therefore speak, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and place us with you in his presence. Everything indeed is for you, so that the grace bestowed in abundance on more and more people may cause the thanksgiving to overflow for the glory of God. Here's a reminder that the apostles, like us, they were frail, imperfect human beings who were willing to say yes to the Lord. If you would learn, it's hard to do it, but if you would learn to say yes to Jesus when he asks you to do something, how does he ask you? You get a feeling, you hear somebody say something, you watch something on TV, you hear somebody comment on the radio, so many different ways, and you pray about it, you just can't get it out of your head, you feel maybe God is asking me to do something. That is generally how the Lord talks to you. That's how he asks you to do something. If you do that, then you will find that the Lord will be there for you. He will give you the grace to do what you need to do. You're not doing it by yourself. And if you look at the apostles, they were weak. But with God's help, they were able to accomplish great things. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 126, those who sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. When the Lord brought back the captives of Zion, we were like men dreaming. Then our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with rejoicing. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad indeed. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the torrents in the southern desert. Those that sow in tears shall reap rejoicing. Although they go forth weeping, carrying the seed to be sown. Carrying the seed to be sown. My page is not turning. They shall come back rejoicing, carrying their sheaves. The apostles were all martyred for their faith, with the exception of John, who was believed, tradition holds, to have been boiled in oil, but he survived. And of course, Judas hung himself. But all the others, tradition holds, were martyred for the faith. Cowards, guys that didn't get anything right, but with the grace of God and with the power of the Holy Spirit, they did amazing things. They reaped the rewards of their lifetime of work. How do we do that? How do we reap our reward? Well, we can make it to heaven. That's the point. So all of our good works, all of the carrying of our crosses, whatever they may be, ultimately, if we are faithful to the Lord and continue to move forward with him and say yes when we feel he's asking us to do something, all of that will result in us getting to heaven one day, and then we will experience our ultimate reward as well. The gospel comes from Matthew 20, verses 20 through 28. The mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. Jesus said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered him, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and the other at your left, in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You don't know what you're asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" Well, they said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit at my right and at my left, this is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the ten heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." A reminder that we are all called to serve others and not be served. Yeah, I mean, sometimes, obviously, I can't serve other people without them letting me serve them, right? So sometimes I've got to let people serve me. But primarily, our goal in life should not be to get people to take care of us, to wait on us, to do good things for us. Our goal should be primarily, what can I do to help other people? That's the way Jesus lived his life. That's the way we're called to live. That's what the apostles ended up doing. Took them a while to get there. After hanging out with Jesus for 3 years, they picked up something, but obviously that Holy Spirit, when Christ got with them, he gave them that initial taste of the Holy Spirit on Easter Sunday when they were hiding for fear of the Jews in the upper room. That was their first taste of the Holy Spirit. Of course, on Pentecost Sunday, that's when the Lord really gave them a dose of the Holy Spirit. He gave the church the Holy Spirit, and they were able to go out and essentially give their lives up for the faith. What does that mean for you and me? Well, we, if we've been baptized, we have received the Holy Spirit. We've been confirmed. Those gifts have been strengthened. We got a booster shot at confirmation. So therefore, we have what the martyrs had, what the apostles had after receiving the Holy Spirit. Does that mean I can technically have the guts to be a martyr? Yeah, it does mean that. It doesn't mean that I need to be killed for my faith, but it means I have that capacity inside of me. But I can say to the Holy Spirit, no thanks, I don't want to do that. He's not going to force you to do anything. He's going to make suggestions. See, that's what happens. Now, it's up to you to say yes or no. I recommend you say yes and be empowered because you have that Holy Spirit living in you. You do that, and you will see great things happen. So ask the Lord to use you today. I know it sounds scary, but you're listening to the show. You obviously want to get closer to Christ. When you get closer to Christ, you start to realize how much he loves you, and you want to do things for him. That's the way it works. You have that encounter, and then before you know it, you want to go start sharing him with other people. That's what happens. So ask him. I encourage you to say, Lord, use me today for whatever you need, even if it involves suffering, because I know, Lord, that you will be with me and you will help me. You try that, and your life will change in unbelievable ways. When we come back, Chris Stepien talking about dying to be happy. You're listening to The Gary Zimak Show on Blog Talk Radio. Don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Christopher award-winning NBC News correspondent Bob Dotson endured a childhood battle with polio, which shrunk the tendon in his left leg, affecting his ability to walk. For years, Bob's mother took him to their local hospital in St. Louis 3 days a week for therapy. He remembers his doctor giving him the book The Little Engine That Could, which was grounded in the message, I think I can, I know I can. At age 10, doctors performed surgery on Bob to implant 6 inches of fake tendon. Now at age 66, he notes that it's still working pretty good. During an interview with me, Bob explained the lesson he learned from his struggles. Success, he said, is not a question of just being dealt a good hand. It's playing a bad hand well over and over again. This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
Every month, we are joined by author Chris Stepien. He's written a book called Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life. If you knew today was your last day, what would you do? Once again, our friend Chris Stepien joins us. Hey, brother, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. We made another day.
Hey, we did. Praise God, right? You know, so many times, Chris, we wake up, we start complaining, it's too hot, I'm tired, I don't like my job. We do all that before we say, hey, Lord, thanks for letting me wake up.
No other better way to wake up than to wake up grateful.
Amen. Amen. Hey, today we're going to be going in, continuing our look at your book, which, by the way, if you're listening at home and you have not picked up a copy of Dying to Be Happy, you need to get this book. One of the best books, Chris, that I have ever written, and I'm not, that I've ever written, one of the books that I've ever read, and I'm not just saying it because you're on the show. You're on the show because this book blew me away.
Well, you know, life blows us away.
Yep.
And I had some things happen in my life that blew me away, and I felt compelled to share them. So our only hope is that we can help to be a channel for God's truth and peace. And so I had an experience, and I thought I should share this with other people because it affected me in such a profound way. Sometimes it takes us a long time to realize things.
Yeah, it does.
To really come to understand Scripture.
Right.
And there's always something fresh, no matter how many times we read it or hear it.
Yeah. Let's talk today about the encounter with Jesus and the rich young man. We've all heard this story. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we've heard it so many times that we tend to let it go in one ear and out the other. We've got this rich young man goes up to Jesus and says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" What's that all about? Are his intentions in the right place?
I certainly think they were. He wanted to be a follower of Jesus. In fact, the scripture says that the Lord loved him. That, you know, he must have felt some compassion for him.
Yeah.
Because he thought, "Oh, my friend, now you've asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Now you've asked me a question." And yes, the law, following the laws of God, are important.
Mm-hmm.
What is the essential understanding of that? It is the fact that we must free ourselves from the burden of the world. That's what God was laying out in the Ten Commandments. You know, don't covet your neighbor's wife. Don't covet your neighbor's goods. Don't lie. Don't tie yourself down with all these heavy burdens. And so after he tells the young man, you know, obey the Ten Commandments, the young man's gleeful. He says, "Well, I've been doing that since I was a kid."
Yeah. And I think that's the neat part of this story. He said, "Okay, good. I'm doing that. I'm great." But you know what I think's neat, Chris? The fact that he went on. I mean, I guess this shows his sincerity. He went on and said, "All right, I'm doing all that. What else do I need to do?" Which is a dangerous question.
Always. Because God is going to ask you for something that's counter to our culture.
Yeah.
It's just to the human condition. He's going to ask us something revolutionary. He's going to ask us to change our lives in ways that we never imagined. And what we don't realize is that thing that he's asking us to do is actually going to free us. It's radical, but it's going to liberate us. We're going to say, "Why was I hanging on to all this for so long?"
Exactly.
I mean, you did it. You did it. You walked away from your former life to do what you're doing now, and it has its challenges, but it's rewarding beyond measure, right?
Exactly, exactly. And yeah, there are a lot of challenges there, some of which I didn't even realize until I was into this this new life. But you know what? I would never trade it. I would never trade it. Chris, I think it's interesting when we look at the response of Jesus, feeling love for him. The Lord threw him a lifeline of truth, as you put it in the book, and says, "You are lacking in one thing. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then, after you've done that, come follow me." You know what? I would have been blown away. I probably would have run in the other direction because that's a little bit too painful for me.
Right. Pow, right in the wallet.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that this is the thing that, what is the expression? Give till it hurts.
Yep.
Right? What? Give till it hurts. And think about it. When you have surgery, oftentimes things are removed. You're cut. There's a bloodletting. There's a purging. That you lance a wound. And, you know, Scripture tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because if you really want, and so he says, "Well, I'm obeying the law," but that bacteria, that microorganism of evil is still in you. Until we get rid of those things that are weighing us down, we're going to tend to repeat our bad habits. You know, St. Francis of Assisi said he married Lady Poverty. It was a metaphor for the idea, you know, the paradoxes of Scripture, if you will, that you have strength through weakness, for example. The idea that he even said, if we have possessions, then we're going to need laws, back to that concept of laws, like commandments, then we're going to need laws to protect and defend them. You know, if we deny someone who has need greater than ours some of our possessions, we're stealing from them. It is an entirely upside-down view of the world,
which is
what should tell us that it's true. Because the world sells us things all the time,
right. And
then the promises don't come through, right? We fail. They fail. Like, why didn't this work out this way? Well, I started this business and I'm overworking, or I have this job and I worked all those extra hours, and then my family isn't working so well. You know what I mean? We're investing in, like Jesus said, it's a key thing that you brought. I'm glad you read that scripture verse, because he says, "You will have treasure in heaven, then come and follow me." In other words, put the money in the heavenly bank. Put the riches, put the heavenly riches in the savings account. Then come and follow me. whole different concept. Well, we would worry about, my bank account's getting lean.
Exactly.
I'm in trouble. Well, no, how's your heavenly treasure?
Right.
Because ultimately, you're going to walk away from all of it anyway. You're going to, when you die, you're going to leave it behind.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, that's what we have to remember. And that's the easiest thing for us to lose sight of on a daily basis. Like, hey, this is temporary. Like, what's more important? And the Lord never said that we don't have material needs. He understands that. But he said, put your heavenly needs first, right? Build up heavenly treasure. I want to run something by you. And this is something that when I first heard this, it really blew me away, and I had to think about it. I was having dinner with a priest one time, and he said, we constantly thank the Lord for our material blessings. The money we have in the bank, our possessions, our cars, our houses, which is a good thing to be grateful for those things. But he said to me, are they really blessings, or in a sense, are they obstacles or curses even?
Mm-hmm.
Because these things that we have, even though we should be grateful for them, they can sometimes distract us and put obstacles between us and the Lord. What do you think about that?
I think it's spot on. I mean, if you think about it, they are blessings. But, you know, do we have the car that we need, or do we have the car that we want?
Yeah.
Do we have the food that we need, or do we have the food that we want? You know, Jesus fulfilled need. When you were just mentioning that Jesus understands need, well, look at the loaves and the fishes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, time and again, the wine at the wedding of Cana. And so that you might even regard the wine at the wedding of Cana as a luxury,
mm-hmm,
right? And,
mm-hmm.
and he responded to the intercession, if you will, of his mother. The point is, however, that there's a difference between need and want.
Yeah.
And we can become addicted to things, and they become important. They become idols in our lives. Like the fellow, one of the fellows I mentioned in this chapter, Lady Poverty, Chapter 6, is Eric Maul. He's a football player, pro football player. He idolized himself, he said, because he wanted to make the National Football League.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until he was actually cut, he prayed to be cut later by the New York Jets, and when he was cut, then he eventually sold all his possessions and went out and had a devout spiritual life and lived with the poor, the homeless on the streets of mm-hmm. Cleveland for a year. He said it was one of the happiest times of his life, speaking of dying to be happy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the point is we have to realize what is nourishment and what is gluttony, what is transportation, and what is an idol. It goes across everything we do. Are we looking to God? Are we building that, as you said, that treasure in heaven?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I can't believe it. We only have about 5 seconds left. Chris Stepien, you brought it again, brother.
Well, no, you set me up.
Hey, man.
Thanks, Chris.
You throw those softballs.
I love these segments. Thanks again, brother. Talk to you next time. Chris Stepien, the book is Dying to Be Happy, Discovering the Truth About Life.
St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Christ didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Many evangelicals see this passage as an indication that baptism is not necessary for salvation. But is this true? The answer is no, and here are some reasons why. First, I don't think Paul meant I don't have authorization to baptize. If that were true, well, then he would have acted in disobedience when he baptized Crispus, Gaius, and the household of Stephanus, which he tells us about in the preceding verses. But we don't want to say that. It's more likely Paul was being hyperbolic in order to stress, one, the focus of his ministry, which was to preach, and two, it doesn't matter by whom you're baptized, which was the topic of discussion within context. Is Paul denying the necessity of baptism? I don't think so. I'm Carlo Broussard with The Ready Reason for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
All right. Thank you, Carlo. And we are back. Thanks so much for tuning into the program. I'm completely out of time now. God willing, I'm going to see you tomorrow night. Remember, to find out more information about my work, just go to followingthetruth.com. And I would love to hear from you if you have any comments about the show. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Remember, wherever you go today, whatever you do, just turn around and look for the Lord. I guarantee you he's there. Make sure you say hi once you see him. And until next time, this is Gary Zimek saying so long and God bless. The Gary Zimek Show is a Following the Truth production. Our theme music is Sunshine by Kevin MacLeod. It's licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. Find out more by going to incompetech.com. Thanks again for listening.
God bless you.